sing another glory and power near to the ancient of days.
Going to play through this next verse, turn to your neighbor and say, good to see you today. So many
hearts will soon be happy forever.
Place to be with God's people and be in the Lord's house, and we're going to hear from him this morning. I believe that. We've already had a good Sunday school hour. I appreciate so much your faithfulness to God's house. And let me just mention, we had a work day. I'm hesitant to say men's work day because we had some women show up as well. We had a we had a breakfast, and then just an abundance of people turned out to help out with our various things we need to get done here yesterday. Just everybody flew in and went to work. If you haven't had a chance, I know some of you are popping back in there to Summer Hall and looking at the progress being made on our remodel. We're almost done, just finishing up the add-on back there in the corner, but we got all our new chairs in this last week, so you might want to step back there at the end of the service and check it out. I'm excited about those new chairs, excited about getting in there and enjoying what God has provided for us in that new fellowship hall. I appreciate so much our visitors being with us this morning. We've got a good group. We have some here to watch baptism at the end of the service. We're excited about that. And then others that are return visitors, and we appreciate you being here with us as well. Okay, so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right back to the singing. And Bryce, will you lead us, please, sir?
Amen. Thank you. Be seated. As you know, Easter is just 2 weeks away, and Easter is always the time you can invite people. People are looking for a place to go to church, and just so that you'll know, this year on Easter, we're doing things just a little bit different. Most of the time, we do an Easter cantata, and it's just the choir singing. This year, the choir is just going to sing one big song, two songs, and then Brother Chris is going to preach. And so you be inviting your family and your friends to be here on Easter so that we can have a big day and kind of get you motivated for that. I want to show you a short video right quick.
Many of us hear a voice that pulls on our hearts. It's a good voice that speaks to us about the people in our lives. And it's inviting us to invite them to our church. But something prevents us from acting on it. Maybe it's the fear of what they might think. Maybe it's a feeling that we're in some way disqualified. Maybe we feel like we don't have all the answers yet, or that we don't want to put our friends on the spot. But Easter's just around the corner, and that changes the game. It's unique because most people already want to go to church on Easter. They just need to be invited. So what might happen if you asked God, who? That's it. God, who should I invite? He will answer that prayer because he's anxious to answer that prayer. We only need ears to hear. And maybe that voice has actually been his voice all along.
Again. Hey man, can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
Right now, get somebody on your mind that you can invite to be here for Easter.
All right.
When life lets you down, you feel more broken than whole. When the wounds go deeper than words, you can't tell a soul. I may not know what you're going through, may not can make that high mountain move. One thing I found, I really want you to know. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. When do you think the maker and giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? He sees the sparrow that falls to the ground, and he hears the tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in his sight. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it doesn't only matter to you. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we love you today. And God, we're so grateful for the fact that you care about us. No matter what is going on in our life, you're concerned. And especially when we go through the valleys. And God, maybe perhaps there's someone that has come today and life's been hard and life's been difficult and they're in a valley. Maybe they're trying to get questions for big dilemmas in their life and answers to why certain things have happened. God, I pray that you'd help them to realize that you care and that you're willing to meet their needs. God, I pray that you'd be with Brother Chris in just a few moments. He's going to come and preach the message that you've put upon his heart just for us today. God, he's going to need your help and he's going to need your power. God, I'm asking you to give that to him today. God, I pray that you'd move mightily in our church. And as Brother Chris talked about last week about the hand of God, God, I pray that your hand would be upon what we're doing today. That everything that we do would be honoring and pleasing unto you. In Christ's name I pray. Would you stand with us, please? Merciful, wonderful Savior, precious Redeemer and King. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men?
Songs.
of faith we sing through doubt and fear. In the end, we'll see that it was worth it when He returns and wipes away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose. Heroes of the faith, with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith, with one voice, a thousand generations. So worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into the house of God this morning and the great privilege we have worshiping you and calling upon your name. I thank you for those that are here, Lord. We know that that you bring your people in, but we also know, Lord, that there are times that you bring people in for divine appointments, somebody that perhaps maybe not been to church in some time, and you've brought them here because you want to speak to their heart. We know, Father, that you want to speak to all of our hearts through the Word of God. But if there be anybody here that's not a born-again Christian, Lord, that you have brought here this morning to be under the sound of your Word, we pray that you'll knock on the door of their heart and that you'll draw them to you, that they might accept your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the time we've got together. Thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry in our lives. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll have your way in this service. And we'll give thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Last week, I preached on recovering our zeal for God, and I told you how the Lord was dealing with me about rekindling the flame, if you will, that I once had for His church and for taking for not just His church, but for Him and for His Word and all of these things. And I have been taking steps, if you will, in the last few weeks as God's begun to deal with me about that, to renew that commitment. And I promise you, I have already seen, God has already shown me many blessings, just saying, hey, I'm in this. As we alluded to just a few moments ago, my hand is there. The hand of the Lord is on it. And I'm excited about that in my own personal life. I hope that you're challenged to do the same. Let's never become a dead church. Let's never become lukewarm Christians. Let's always keep the fire going. And then I did something last week that I hadn't done in quite some time. I preached on Sunday night. David has been doing that for the last 16 plus years, which has been a blessing to all of us. But because of he had some things going on, traveling and stuff, I filled in for him last Sunday, and I spoke to you about the joy of the Lord. And I briefly touched on one of our biggest problems in the 21st century as Christians, and that is the fact that we are too busy. We're too busy. Most of us run to and fro at a high rate of speed, trying to keep up with our schedules, our jobs, our families, hobbies, entertainment, church, whatever else we can squeeze in. We never really seem to get caught up. And there are those in our congregation, and many that are retired and are aged individuals that don't have as hectic a schedule as others may have, but yet they still, in today's world, the way everything is, they still seem to be able to stay filled with stimulus, if you will. Mostly media, the cell phones and Facebook and computer and tablets and TV and all the various things. Even retired adults, today we seem to be bombarded with noise, okay? Now, you and I have noticed that in comment, and we joke about it, and we laugh about our young people, how we just constantly, they're going to evolve into, they're just going down because they're watching these screens all the time. And we notice that, but the truth of the matter is, if we will be observant, we aging adults are really beginning to get sucked into that addiction to screen time ourselves. I have caught myself more than once not having any reason whatsoever to look at my phone, but by habit start looking at my phone screen, and whether it be headlines or whatever. And so all of these things keep our minds working. And what it really boils down to is our lives are filled with words. They're filled with words. Words from people. Words coming out of the speakers. Words that are spoken. Words that are printed. Words that are typed. There's very little time that some kind of words are not occupying our minds. And I'm not saying that that's all bad, and I'm certainly not saying that it's evil in any way, but I will say that it leaves a minimum amount of time for the voice of God. It leaves a minimal amount of time for us to hear from our Savior in the midst of a very loud, fast-moving, chaotic world. One of the most valuable lessons we can learn as Christians is how to listen to God. How to hear His voice. Does God still speak today? Absolutely. Does He speak any less today than He did in ages past? No, He does not. His voice is still there. The lines of communication between God and man are not as open as they were in the past, but that is the result of man not listening. It has nothing to do with God not speaking. God still speaks. And so that brings up the question, why does God want to speak to us as His children? And we're going to read our text this morning, and our text will answer that question. We begin in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, for this cause, Paul is about to say a prayer for the Ephesians church. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height,
and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, without world, world without end. Amen. And so Paul is praying that prayer for the Ephesians church. And in that short prayer, we can see reasons that God wants to communicate with his children. Reasons that he wants to speak to you and I. First and foremost, he speaks to us because he loves us. Verse 17 speaks of being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 19 speaks of knowing of his love. Verse 15 speaks of a spiritual family, which implies a parent-child love. 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. Romans 5:8 says he commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I don't think any of us here would deny the fact that God loves us. And those we love, we want to communicate with. God desires to speak to you and I for that reason. He loves us. But along with his desire to speak to us is his desire to be spoken to. And of course, we do that through prayer, and that's a subject that we'll have to visit on another day. But God doesn't want a one-sided conversation. He wants to speak to us and be heard, and he wants to be spoken to so he can listen. People who love each other communicate. They talk. And so God speaks to us because he loves us. Another reason that God speaks to us is because he knows that we need direction in our lives. I want you to notice verse 18. He says that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. That word comprehend implies gaining knowledge and understanding. If you're a parent this morning, you know that you want your children to have direction in their lives. You don't want them wandering around aimlessly. Whether they still be at home or whether they've left the nest or not, you don't want to see your children lost. You want to see them have some direction, a sense of purpose in their lives. You want them to be going and aiming at something, if you will. We want them to have the right information so they can make the right choices. We want them to have the right tools for decision making and all of this. And God is no different as a father. When you read the scripture, you see how all throughout history, he has worked closely with his servants, giving them guidance and direction. Granted, in Old Testament times, he communicated with his people in different ways than he does now, but his ways of speaking have changed, but his desire to speak has not changed. He wants to speak to his children. He still wants to give us guidance. He still wants to give us a sense of direction and keep us going and aiming towards the goal that he has for our life. Another purpose for his speaking to us is his desire to comfort and strengthen us. Notice verse 16. I love this. He says, Paul says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit and the inner man. I don't know about anybody that wants to be weak. We all want to be strong, and God doesn't want us to see us in weakness spiritually either. He wants us to see us strong spiritually, and he doesn't want us to be falling apart emotionally. Many times you and I can experience trauma and trial and tragedy in our lives, and that's exactly what will happen to us if we don't have God's strength, is we'll become emotionally weak. We'll become very vulnerable. And so God's voice wants to be there to calm us, to settle us, to reassure us. Verse 16 that we just read there speaks of the inner man, giving us strength in the inner man. That's talking about healing our hearts. When one of our little children or grandchildren get hurt or injured while playing outside, and this happens a lot around our house on Sunday afternoons when they all gather, somebody gets hurt, right? That whether you get hit in the head, whether it be a bump or a bruise or a cut or a scratch or whatever it is, that injury is there, okay, physically, and that has to be addressed, of course, and that it's going to take a little bit of healing. But the emotional part of it, the crying, the tears, the being upset, the trauma, that can be settled much quicker by you and I holding that little guy or little girl closely and speaking words of comfort to them, reassuring them that we're there and that this whole incident is behind them and it's over and it's going to be okay. And our words as parents or grandparents are very powerful in helping a child heal emotionally. God has a very strong desire to do that for you and I. When we're upset, when we're frightened, when we're hurting, we need comfort, we need strength, and God wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to come alongside us and while we're hurting and calm the fears and calm the emotional turbulence that we're going through. He wants to give us healing and speak words of assurance to us. His love and His comfort and strength will be there. And so these are things that God speaks to us, reasons why He wants to speak to us, those three. And now there's one more. God speaks to us in order to reveal His plan to us. You know, God has a plan for your life. I love to tell these young people that. I love to say, you know, you're something special because God loves you and God's got a plan for your life, and you need to be telling your children that. I tell the kids of the church that. I tell my grandchildren that. And I mean that because it's true. God has a plan for all of our lives and He wants to see it carried out to the fullest. But we can't follow that plan if we don't know the plan. And we can't know the plan unless God reveals the plan to us. And so we've heard it said, well, it's a blueprint. God has a blueprint for your lives. And that's a pretty accurate description, if you will, because in the sense that even the smallest details of our lives are important to God and very much a part of us becoming what He desires us to be as the end result or the end product, if you will, as it's realized. But God doesn't let us see the blueprint. God doesn't make the plan from start to finish and make it available to us and say, here's the way the whole thing goes, like a blueprint would be. He reveals to us those things, those little things, as we go. At some particular point along the way, we'll need to know this and He'll speak to us. We'll need to know that and He'll speak to us. He doesn't come to us with the whole plan all at once. He wants to reveal as needed. I don't know if that makes sense to you. So let me clarify by just kind of telling you a bit of my story. Back in the late 90s, God began to speak to me. I've told you this many times before. He began to speak to me about becoming a pastor. I'm not going to discuss to you the methods He used to impress that upon my heart, His methods of speaking, but He spoke, okay? He made it very clear to me that His plan was for me to be surrendered to the ministry and be used however He saw fit. And He not only made that clear to me, but He also spoke to the hearts of people that had vital roles in my life. He spoke to Trisha's heart just the same way as He had spoken to me. He spoke to my pastor and impressed upon him the same thing. He spoke to others that were involved in my life and had spiritual influence in my life. So He communicated His plan. I was called to preach. But the when and the where and the how, He didn't reveal to me. That was unknown to me. Those things would need to be disclosed on an as-needed basis as I move forward in obedience. In other words, He didn't say, you're called to preach at Bible Baptist Church in Slayton beginning in 1999. He didn't do it that way. Those things had to be revealed as I cooperated with His plan. Now, there's something else I want to make note of about this situation. Initially, I didn't like that plan. I had my own plans. I didn't want God's plan to supersede the things that I desired for my own personal life. I didn't want to rebel against God. I didn't want to get out of church. I didn't want to quit serving Him. I just didn't want to go with the plan He had. And so I resisted. I ran from the call to the ministry. Did God stop speaking to me? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that I couldn't find clarity from Him. He seemed distant. I couldn't seem to hear His voice. Words of comfort, words of assurance, words of guidance and direction didn't seem to be there for me, because I had, in my rebellion, I had broken down those lines of communication. But He did not go silent on the subject of His plan for my life. He continued to tell me that I was called to preach. He continued to speak to me about that and keep that message clear. He didn't want me groping around in the darkness. He wanted that to be apparent to me. And when I finally listened and I finally yielded to that plan and said, okay, I surrendered to the ministry, then His voice began to be heard again in other areas. And when I speak of that, don't think that Brother Chris hears audible voices from God. You know what I'm talking about, in the sense that that God impressed things and spoke to me through His word and these sort of things. So yes, God speaks. There's no question about it. The problem does not lie in Him having poor communication skills. The problem lies in you and I having poor listening skills. So together, let's listen to God. Nothing is more urgent than for us to as His children, to listen, to have ears to hear. Nothing is more necessary, nothing is more rewarding than for us to gain the ability to hear His voice. So very quickly, I want to give you four ways that God speaks to us today. And then we're going to pick up on this next week, Lord willing, and learn some more things about listening to God. As I said earlier, much has changed since the Bible times, okay? God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But things have changed in the sense of how He communicates. The redeeming work of Christ Jesus is fully done, okay? The Word of God, the Bibles, are fully complete. So God no longer speaks to us in an audible voice. He no longer speaks through prophets, dreams, and visions, and things of that nature. But that doesn't mean that He speaks any less. In fact, with the printed word the way it is, and the digital age, and information, and radio, and TV, and internet broadcast, and all of these things, God's voice can be heard more now than ever, by more people than ever, if the ears are there to listen to Him. So that leads me to the first means of speaking that God uses today, and that is He speaks through His Word. Our Bibles are God's Word to us about Himself. It's the complete revelation of who He is and who we are and what He wants for our lives, what He wants for mankind. He speaks through His Word, and never before in history has His voice been made more available to man than it is right now. Right now in the 21st century, we have more of His words available to us than ever. But never has man been so bombarded by the noise of this world than he is today. There's never been more words in existence to drown out the voice of God than there is today. So we have to not only expose ourselves to the Word of God, but we need to learn to arrange for a quiet mind and a quiet heart that is capable of hearing. That's our job. We have to do that. Another method of speaking is that God uses today is the Holy Spirit. He speaks through His Word, but He speaks through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us. It's God resident in our lives, there to walk us through this journey here on earth. And the Holy Spirit nudges you and I and impresses things upon you and I to do certain things, to take a particular action. And he may get a hold of our hearts and stop us when we're about to make a poor decision. He gives us guidance. The Bible says that he smote King David's heart. It means he struck him in the heart immediately to get him to see what he had done wrong. And he does that for you and I. The Holy Spirit, when you and I do make choices that are poor or we fall into sin or whatever, the Holy Spirit will grip our heart with conviction and say, no, that's wrong. And he'll help us see that so we can take care of that. And he will impress upon us the right things to do. The Holy Spirit does a lot of work in our lives and to keep us on track. So 1 Timothy 4:1 says, the Spirit speaketh expressingly. That simply means that the Spirit is able to speak distinctly. In other words, if we will have ears to hear, the Holy Spirit has the ability to speak to us with such clarity that there's no confusion about the decisions that we're about to make. He's willing to do that. But what is the biggest obstacle to that happening? What is the biggest thing that gets in the way of the Holy Spirit's voice being able to speak to our hearts? And it's this: when you and I get sin and rebellion in our lives. When we get over here off in the weeds and we're doing our own thing, then we're breaking down that line of communication when the Spirit's trying to tell us things. We're quenching Him. We're grieving Him. And so we have to keep our lives clean and obedient and yielded to the Spirit, and He will speak to us as we do so. A third method that God uses to speak today is through other people. God places people in our lives who have wisdom, people who care about us, people that have strong faith, have healthy walks with the Lord, people who have have experienced spiritual things themselves, and He will use them as instruments of communication from Him. He will bring people into our lives. It may be your parents, it may be your grandparents, it may be your Sunday school teacher, your brother, or your sister, a friend, a co-worker, your pastor, a coach at school, or a teacher at school. God sometimes brings people into our lives out of nowhere and in some form or fashion communicates a particular truth to us from somebody we really don't even know. And we may scratch our head and say, where did that come from? Truth of the matter is, it might have come from God. God used that person to get something across to us. So don't close your ears to those around you. In fact, many times in our rebellion towards a person, say a parent or a good friend that's trying to tell us something about our life and we get mad at them, sometimes our rebellion against that individual is really closing our ears to what God's trying to tell us. People's voice could be the voice of God at times. Last of all, God speaks to us through circumstances. Don't think for one moment that God cannot control everything on this earth as He wants. He can orchestrate events, opportunities, failures, successes, tragedies, triumphs, disappointments, any circumstance, any combination of circumstances can be put together by God in order to communicate to you and I as His children whatever it is He's desiring for us to know. So whatever you may be going through right now, or you may recall a time in the past you were going through something, whatever that circumstance was, whatever may be disappointment, failure, or victory, whatever it is, trauma, things that strike fear into our lives, whatever it is, maybe God is using that to speak to you or me. Maybe He's using that crisis to cause us to get more serious about the things of God. Maybe He's using that humbling we're getting. I got one of those this week, and I need a lot of them. They're no fun. But maybe that humbling is God saying, okay, I want you to see something here about yourself. Maybe some wonderful event in our life is God speaking to us, saying, my hand is upon your life. I'm here. Your obedience is seen. Your submission to my will is appreciated. And so I'm blessing you. I want you to see why I'm blessing you. You see, it could be anything. Circumstances can be used by God to show us a lot of things. And so he speaks in these four ways. His word, his Holy Spirit. He speaks through other people. He speaks through circumstances. Those are methods that he uses today. And the question is, will we be silent and listen? I'm going to do something different this morning. For 60 seconds, we're going to turn off the noise, including my voice. And we're going to bow our heads in silence for 60 seconds. And it's going to seem really strange to us. It's going to seem like a very long time. Why? Because we rarely have silence in our life. So for 60 seconds, that's not very long according to the clock. God can speak a lot in 1 minute. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and it's not necessarily a time of prayer. You can pray. You can do what you want with your 60 seconds. I want you to be absolutely silent for this 1 minute, and then I'll close us in prayer. And just let God speak to you, or at least reveal to you that we are capable of getting silent. And maybe we can begin to practice it more in our lives. Let's begin right now, 60 seconds. Father, we come to you this morning wanting to learn, wanting to hear your voice. And though 60 seconds is not a very long time, we know, Lord God, that it gives us an understanding that we can create those moments of silence if we will deliberately do so, that you want to fill those moments with your voice. So, Lord, help us. Help this lesson to be instrumental in teaching us that each day, that if we will work hard at slowing down enough to listen to you when we read our Bibles, when other people speak into our lives, those of influence over us, when your Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of our heart trying to communicate, when circumstances create an environment that you're able to speak a particular truth to us. If you'll just give us listening ears, if you'll help us, Lord God, to be to cut out the noise, to turn off the devices or put them away, for us to get still. Lord, we know there's so much that you want us to hear. I pray, Heavenly Father, that through this lesson and perhaps the lessons that lie ahead, however many they may be, that you'll teach us, Lord, how to hear your voice. Thank you for your people this morning. I ask your blessings as we have this altar call, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you'll stand with me now for just a few moments, we'll have an invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, people are going to be praying, nobody's going to be looking around. If you want to come to this altar, please come. If you can be seated, and I will direct your attention to the baptistry. We have a sweet girl, that Channing. Channing Lynn Downer accepted the Lord Jesus Christ this last week. Her daddy led her to the Lord, and daddy's going to get to baptize her this morning. And so I'll direct your attention there. Cooper doesn't have a microphone, so you'll need to speak up, buddy, okay? That's a special thing to this pastor, I promise you. Appreciate so much Cooper and Bergen, the way they minister to their kids and teach them the things of God and the Word of God. And it's exciting to see your kids and grandkids get saved. And I'm thankful for Channing's, Bergen's family being here with us this morning, and of course my family as well. Let me give you a few announcements before we dismiss everybody. We got quite a bit going on in the next month. Next Sunday is the second. That is going to be our youth auction. That'll be Sunday evening. We won't have services in here. We'll have our meal. The youth will be serving us a meal, and then we'll auction our items off. Please help out with this as much as you can and bring in auction items, and we'll have a good night. This is our biggest fundraiser of the year, and so that's going to be on 6 p.m. on the 2nd. Easter is the following week, and David kind of told you a little bit about what the choir is doing at that Sunday. But what we are doing after the services is having our regular Easter egg hunt, and so we need Easter eggs, folks. If you can start bringing those in, just pile them up back here in the kitchen, and we would appreciate that. Any kind of prize eggs and things of that nature, candy eggs and all of this, it would help out. I've got it right here in front of me. This will be back on the table when you dismiss from here. This is the annual financial statement for Bible Baptist Church for 2022. And so if you were doing a little different, rather than having some sort of business meeting on Sunday night, if you want to sign up, one of our trustees or treasurer will get you a copy of this. If you have any questions, you can direct them towards any of the trustees or myself, and we'll be glad to answer those. We have a tremendous group going to the men's conference in 2 weeks. We have over 40 going, and it's going to be exciting, guys. And so let me encourage you to keep those plans. Don't let anything deter you. Don't bail out on us if you can help it, because we're just going to have a fantastic time. With that being said, the ladies are going to do the very same thing 2 weeks later on the 28th, Friday the 28th. They'll be leaving out of here, and they'll come back on the 29th. They're going also to Willa Park Baptist Church for that ladies' conference. There's a sign-up sheet in the back for that, and you're going to want to get by there, ladies, and go ahead and get your name down. It helps us plan. The further ahead you can get your name on there, it helps us plan ahead. I told you, ladies, that if you got more people going than the men, and we've got 40 right now early, if you have more, then I will eat a big old black bug, and so it's up to you. If you want to see me eat a bug, then you sign up and gear up to get more people going. I don't think you can do it. So here we go. Let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Vernon?
Yes, sir. It's a
Okay. Yeah, that's good. And their families as well that that remain alive today. The losses of that conflict or war were great. And so thank you for bringing that to our attention this Thursday. Okay? All right, folks. So glad you were here. God bless you. Come back tonight. We're going to have a good time. Brother David will be preaching to us tonight. So let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Randy Powell, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?